This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's message is the fourth of a series titled Marriage by God's Design. It was recorded on March 3rd, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
Be praying over that and inviting folks. Hey, we're going to continue our series. Today's the last day, in fact, of our series called Marriage by God's Design. How many of you have enjoyed the series so far? If you've been here for any of it, three of you, good. The rest of you, hopefully you've been able to endure through it. You know, we've had a good time with it. We've really enjoyed sharing together. I just think this woman is the most amazing woman in the world. So anytime I get a chance to hang with her, that is a good thing. So this morning we want to talk about communication, because communication is vital in any relationship. Friendship, marriage, you know, in family, any relationship. So this morning, don't tune us out just because the word marriage is in the title. Listen in and get some thoughts this morning that'll help you in any relationship, okay? So we thought we'd start out with a joke. We couldn't find anything about teeth, so sorry we couldn't continue that theme. But anyway, you know, I read where a husband brings a study to show his wife on the difference in communication between men and women. And the study says that women speak on average 30,000 words a day, sweetheart, where men only speak about 15,000 words.
Well, the wife says, well, that makes perfect sense.
And the husband says, well, what do you mean?
And the wife says, well, we have to repeat everything we say to our husbands.
To which the man replied, what?
Think about that.
We had to get the men, you know, had to get the men. So
It's all right.
So we want to talk about the importance of communication in marriage. Communication is the primary way that we get to know each other. And it's absolutely a vital aspect of an intimate relationship. Ephesians 4:29, I love this verse. Again, it's not just about marriage. It's about everything we say to everyone we say it to. Because communication can either be used to build or to tear down. In Ephesians 4:29, my dear friends at Brownings gave me a wonderful Bible in the Passion Translation. You've probably never heard it in this translation. Listen to this. And never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth. But instead, let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them.
That's
Isn't
powerful.
That awesome?
Yeah, you cannot have intimacy, guys, in your marriage without open and honest communication. That has to happen. And it's how we communicate our needs and our emotions to one another, right? You have to be able to communicate. And what's interesting is to be able to communicate in each other's language, because we are different.
You know, in war, anytime there's a battle between two, you know, enemies, two opposing countries, nations, whatever it would be, one of the first things that both sides will try to do is cut off the communication lines of the other side. And I just got to tell you this morning, there is an enemy working against you and every relationship in your life, especially your marriage, to try to get those communication lines cut off. Because if the enemy can do that, then he can cripple your relationship, your intimacy, and the health of your relationships.
And you know, communication is so important. It is the way that we figure out what's important to one another. It's how we get to know each other. If you can't communicate, you can't really get to know each other. It's how we fell in love.
Yeah, exactly. So this morning, we want to really talk about two areas, and we're going to try to move through this fairly quickly this morning. But it's two major areas. First of all, avoiding the common dangers of communication, and then learning how to successfully communicate. So let's look at some of the dangers this morning as we kind of start out. And the first one is simply this, and this is a big one. And again, this is for everybody in the house this morning, not just those who are married. But if you don't understand the power of words, your relationships are really going to suffer. And we live in a culture, quite honestly, I've never seen anything like it. It has changed radically in my own lifetime. You know, I come from a family where my grandfather, who was the patriarch of our family, I have this scene, you know, in my mind when I'm a little boy, and my mom and dad and my grandmother and grandfather and I are sitting in the bleachers at a rodeo, and the man in front of us is using filthy language. And my grandfather is so offended and upset that a fist fight almost broke out between my grandfather and this man because my grandfather verbally confronted him to tone his language down. And that's the way my grandfather conducted his life all the years I knew him. If you used dirty language, it was not allowed around women. It was not allowed in public places. And yet today, you know, we have movies that are literally bragging about how many F words they have in them. And we have a culture that has become desensitized to the profane and the ungodly and taking the Lord's name in vain. I was with Bert's brother in Wyoming a couple of weeks ago, and he lives in a little town of 57, and I found it refreshing his perspective on things. He said, you know what? If I'm around somebody and they're using bad language, or I go to a movie and there's bad language, I just get up. I just leave. I go. He said, I don't have any room for that in my life. I don't need that. Some of us ought to take some lessons from that because we need to get back to a culture that values the power of words. And by the way, I think that F word has a spirit attached to it that is absolutely trying to desensitize us in other areas of our life. So, you know, let's be careful about the words we use and understand they have a lot of power. Yeah.
Words are extremely powerful, as you know. And in Proverbs 18:20 through 21, it says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, which you all are probably familiar with that one. And those who love it will eat its fruit. We need to be careful with the words that we say, guys. Words are powerful. They're nuclear. I mean, they're nuclear. They wedge in our hearts. They make a difference. So we think about God created the world. How did he do that? With his words. So we can give life and death in the power of our words, the power of our tongue. So a healthy marriage is filled with healthy words and encouraging words. Mm-hmm. An unhealthy marriage is filled with unhealthy words, negative words, critical words. So my question to you is, what kind of words are in your relationships? Are they healthy words you use? Are they unhealthy words? You need to really think about that.
Yeah, remember that fact that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth literally with his words. That's how powerful words are. You and I are made in his likeness and image. Our words have power too. Every good marriage filled with good words. Every bad marriage, I guarantee you, it's filled with bad words or no words at all.
Yes. We must be careful with our words, like we're saying. I wish we would have known that when we were younger. We said a lot of things we shouldn't have said, and we weren't careful. So remember, we fall in love. Remember how when you first met each other, you know, you were really careful with your words. Very sensitive, very loving, very kind with your words. But what happens when we've been together a while, right? We fall out of love because we're insensitive with our words. We're not careful with our words. We kind of take each other for granted, right? We kind of vomit on each other, and that is really never okay. So,
yeah, our words aren't just important in marriage. They're important in every aspect of our lives, and they're important in our relationship with God. And get this, this absolutely shook me. As a young man, when this realization came to my heart, I remember distinctly where I was. I was at a Christian camp, and I was confronted by one of the adult counselors about my words. And he used this very scripture, Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. Words aren't meaningless. God hears your words. God records your words. You'll give account for your words.
That's convicting, isn't it? It's very convicting. So exposing the common deceptions concerning words and communication. So number one, people think, well, it doesn't matter. My words just evaporate. They just kind of come out. You know, I'm just, oh, I love this one. I'm just kind of, I don't know. I just need to get it out. Get it out. You know, it doesn't really matter. I'm just, you know, getting it out. No, words matter. What we say matters. If you need to vent, then write it down. You know, get in the car by yourself like me. You know, vent in the car when nobody's around, and then you can repent later to God because of the words, you know, that you've said. They're eternally recorded by God, and they make a lasting impression on others. How do we know that? How do we know? Do you still remember words that were spoken over you, both negative and positive, that somebody said to you? I had teachers, both good and bad, in my life. I had to forgive for saying negative things in my life. Mm-hmm. If words don't matter and they just evaporate, why are we still remembering those words? So.
Yeah, I remember my parents taught me a little ditty when I was just a kid.
Oh, you won't know
how many
one?
Of you remember this? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will
never hurt.
Where did that come from? Certainly not from Scripture.
It's from the devil.
And I think the reason from. I think the reason I heard that so often is I struggled with words. Not only saying bad words, negative words, hurtful words, but having them said to me and not knowing what to do with them. Because they were like sticks and stones, and they were hurting me deep within. And you and I need to understand that and begin to live with a new sense of their power. A second deception is that words they don't really reveal anything. They're non-revealing. Can I just tell you that is absolutely not true?
That's right.
I mean, you may say after you've spewed something out to your spouse or to your friend or to your family member, I didn't really mean it. You know, I just got caught up in the moment. I'm really sorry I said that. It's really not true, or I didn't mean it. Can I just say Scripture says that you did?
Yeah.
And that it actually revealed something in your heart that needs to be dealt with in a deeper manner. Mm-hmm. If those words came out, they were revealing of something that you have allowed in there. And here's what Scripture says. Jesus says this. Matthew 12, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers. I love that. Jesus really gets passionate at times. This is an important point, and he's confronting people who are not living out this reality. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let's say it together. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. You want to know what's in somebody's heart? Just listen to their words.
Yeah. That's scary, isn't it?
It is. Scary. Let me give you some examples real quick of words that you and I ought to be thinking very much about. Mm-hmm. Some of us have a real sarcastic form of humor. Can I just say sarcasm sometimes is a cover for anger? Yeah. Sarcasm sometimes slips through as a form of disrespect, cutting another person down, but doing it in a way that kind of seems joking and kind of seems cute in the moment. But in reality, it's revealing something.
Yeah.
How about hatefulness, bitterness, cruelty? You know, if you're speaking those type of words, there's probably unforgiveness in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Disrespect. Speaking disrespectfully to someone around you often means you're devaluing them or you're taking that relationship for granted.
Yeah.
How about silence? Some of us just give people the silent treatment.
Yeah.
We refuse to use our words when we should be, and that reveals something wrong in our heart.
Yeah.
Abusive speech means a lack of faith in God. Profanity means a lack of respect for God.
Yeah.
So Jesus says, either make your words good or your words bad.
Yeah.
But listen, guys, we got to tell ourselves the truth because our words are revealing something about who we truly are.
Yes. You know, it's really important, again, in any relationship that we have, that we are examining our hearts before the Lord. As you're reading your scripture, don't just check off a box. Pray and ask God to reveal to you, what do I need to do to change? Because it's only God that brings the change, right? It's only the Holy Spirit that brings change. So, number three, words alone are adequate. Well, I can, you know, it doesn't really matter what I do as long as I say the right things. So, is that true? No, it's not true. No, we live in a world so much of rhetoric over reality. Oh, I love my husband. I really do. Really? So, why do you talk to him disrespectfully? Why do you roll your eyes at him? Oh, I love my wife. I think she's great. Really? Are you kind? Are you sensitive to her? Are you patient? How do you talk to her? How do you talk to one another, guys? You can say all this and say, this is great. This was a great sermon. But you've got to really ask before the Lord, am I really loving in action my husband or my daughter or my son? Am I really loving them? I say I do, but are you really? Ask the Lord. He can help you. Which is more important, actions or words? It's actions. But you can't devalue the importance of words as well.
So. The fourth deception is that your words are just powerless. You know, sometimes we say something like this. Well, I would say something, but I don't think it would really matter. I don't think, you know, it would be taken, taken as important. Yes. Remember, the power of life and death is literally in your tongue. Yep. Listen, here's an interesting thing from creation. The smallest particle they have been able to find in all of creation, scientists doing their in-depth work, is what's called the quark. And it's very interesting when they look at the quark and they have figured out essentially what its main component is. It's a sound wave. Now, does that strike something in your heart? Yeah. It does to me, because all of a sudden we're looking at the smallest particle in all of creation, and it's a sound wave. Remember, God spoke things into existence. Isn't that powerful? I remember my mom and my grandmother both loved plants. And I remember a few years back, it was interesting. You know, studies came out that if you speak to your plants even flourish. Anybody ever heard that? I mean, those of you who have a green thumb, you know, and you're over here speaking to your, you know, to your violet or whatever it is. Listen, get, you know what? You got to speak kindly to it,
yeah,
Gina says.
It.
Don't be cursing
don't
that
curse
plant.
It.
We read about that
Stop
today,
that.
Right? Jesus cursed the fig tree. The next day it was over for that baby. So what about your marriage? Are you speaking positive things over your marriage? Are you blessing your marriage? What about your body? You blessing your body, you know? What about your family? You blessing your family? There's the power of blessing in Scripture. Man, it's something we need to live by and understand. So be a source of blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So bad words can bring good results. You think that's true? So cussing somebody out, that brings good results. I mean, I feel really good when somebody's cussed me out, right? Somebody speaks real shaming words over me. I mean, that really helps me to, and sometimes we can think that. We're like, I'm so tired of dealing with this with my spouse or with this person or with my daughter or with my son. So we think a good shaming will really help them. I mean, I don't know about you, but whenever I'm shamed, that doesn't make me want to get up and try harder, right? So bad words do not bring good results. So if you feel like saying bad to somebody, what do you need to do? Keep your mouth shut. Just be quiet. The Lord has told me that before. I gotten so mad or angry about something, and I just wanted to, And the Lord's like, you be quiet. You be quiet. And then you know what? I found out later that I was wrong. I was wrong in what I was assuming. And so thank the Lord, we need to listen. So bad words do not bring good results.
Second thing in how to avoid common problems in communication, and this is an important one. Ladies, gentlemen, listen up. And that is not even understanding the difference between men and women.
Yes, amen.
Because when it comes to communication, this is a big one. And we need to understand it. Women need communication.
I need it.
I mean, it's a deep, heartfelt need. It's not just a want. It is a need that is literally built into them by God. And when a man goes out of his way to connect communication-wise with his wife, it connects her emotionally to him.
I feel really loved when you do that.
Good, that's what I'm talking about, exactly.
I just threw him off. Okay.
Women, they need open, patient, honest communication. You know what I'm talking about, guys. You get home from work, it's been a long day, you've given a lot. You may have gotten close to using your 15,000 words at work. And you come home and your wife goes, how was the day? If all you do is go, well, it's okay, you know. That is not what she's looking for. She wants to connect with you, find out how your day was. She wants some details, you know. Well, I woke up this morning. I was kind of drowsy. I hit the snooze once, honey. You know, I prayed through. I got up. I went to work. I was nervous about that meeting with Bob. but God helped me. And you know, she wants
really
to hear
included.
How your day
yeah.
went and what you went through and the challenges you overcame and the things that happened. Don't leave her in the blue. Don't leave her out. Connect
yeah.
with her. That is incredibly important. A husband who won't talk to his wife
yeah.
not only denies her needs, but he also inadvertently is denying his own needs
mm-hmm.
because she won't be as quick to meet his needs if you don't meet her in her real
yeah.
needs. And communication is one of those needs.
Yeah. You know, women are not trying to control you guys. They're really not trying to control you. They just want to be a part of your life. And see, sometimes men think that. They get really defensive if they think the woman is trying to control them. You see, and I can see why you would feel that way, but a woman is just trying to be close to you. So I think that was really interesting and helpful, hopefully, for our men.
Yeah, men are emotionally closed just by nature. Mm-hmm. Women are much more emotionally open.
This
is a huge difference. And, you know, you get two tables in a restaurant, you know, one table full of ladies and right over here a table full of guys. And you happen to be the waiter and you're listening in on the conversation, it's going to be very different. You know, you're going to walk over here trying to serve the ladies and they're going to be, you know, oh man, I'm really concerned about Darlene and what she's going through and her relationship is, she's struggling right now and her kids are just not there for her like she needs them to be. And you're listening in and it's heartfelt, it's in-depth, it's emotional, it's powerful. You go over to the table with the guys, you know. Bob, did you get your muffler fixed this week? Yeah, sure did. What'd you do? Shot me a 10-point buck. How'd you feel about that, Bob? No, you're not going to ever hear that.
You don't ask that.
You're never going to hear that.
No.
Not going to hear that. No. Felt hungry, that's how I felt. You're not going to hear much about feelings. So we talk about our feelings. We share those things in a very different way.
Yes.
Tell us what men need.
Well, men need, ladies, it's very important because they need to know what we need. Men need a private and honoring atmosphere to open up. The door needs to be closed. The windows need to be drawn. They need to feel that they can be vulnerable in a very safe place, right? It's important. And they need to feel like that the wife is going to respect their privacy. You are not going to run and tell your friends what your husband has told you in privacy, right? You're going to guard that. And he needs to feel like that you're going to guard that in order for him to do that. He's not really in touch with his emotions like we are. I think we come into the world like that. You know, I can stand in the bathroom line and I've got three women talking to me about their feelings. I mean, you know, men just don't operate that way and it's really okay.
Oh boy, we sure don't.
And
okay. That's a no speaking zone right there, believe me. The bathroom. We do not speak.
You don't speak and you don't talk, you don't even look at each other. So women are like, do you have toilet paper over there? I mean, we are close. Let me just tell you. Anyway, men would probably die before he'd ask anybody for toilet paper. Anyway, so women are a little bit emotionally more tough than men, guys.
I
don't mean to put you down at all. It's just the way that we're made. We are. We go up and down. We can talk, laugh, cry, come back down, get mad, and then we'll be happy again. We've just like killed the men. They're like, what? I don't even know. And so what happens with a man is when his blood pressure gets, 100 beats per minute, right? He doesn't hear a thing. He starts grabbing a knife and a gun. I mean, he's ready to take things down, right? Women are just not that way, and it's really okay. We compliment each other, so we just need to keep that in mind.
Yeah, think about this. Women are tender on the outside, tough on the inside. Men are tough on the outside, tender on the inside. You know, just like she said, if you approach a man in the wrong way, you're going to trigger him. He's going to go into fight or flight mode. You know, he's going to be looking for the nearest object, you know, the nearest weapon, because he's going into the offensive,
yeah.
where a lady can deal with stuff like that in a much more flowing way.
Yes.
So here's the real key is we need to understand that men and women hear, mm-hmm. they literally have a filter, they hear through different needs.
Yes.
And let me just try to explain that to you. A woman hears primarily through her need for security. Tracy needs to know that she's secure in our relationship, in my love for her, that ultimately I care for her and I put her above any other human relationship. and I will do whatever it takes to get that guy for her and make sure she's protected and safe. Do you hear that, guys?
Yeah.
You want to open your woman's heart. Absolutely. If I come to her and I start falling apart and I start speaking stuff that is insecure and that triggers insecurity in her heart, it's not going to go well. She wants to hear me saying things, honey, it's going to be okay. I'm going to take care of this. Don't you worry. We're going to get through this together. She needs to hear through that filter of security.
Yes, and if I hear like insecurity, then my frequency, it causes me to panic. I get really like that. And then he's trying to calm you down the whole time. And then you get in the crazy cycle. Do we not know that? It's the truth. So it's really important. Well, how does a man hear? He hears through his need for honor. Honor. So it's not so much, ladies, what you say, it's how you say it. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the truth? You come in him with a putting him down or like a child, he's not going to hear anything. There's his frequency right there. You've just caused him to panic too. He goes into that panic. He can't hear anything. If you're criticizing, the first thing you do is start criticizing him, start picking at him. His frequency has gone crazy. Now he can't hear a thing you've got to say. Not a thing. And haven't you seen that? I mean, it just goes woo downhill and you're like, oh dear Lord, how did we get here? You got to think about how you're speaking to your spouse. And if you can't talk to him with honor, then you need to go pray a while till you can. And write it out. Get before the Lord. Pray in the spirit. Sing some songs. Whatever you need to do. Do some forgiving. I don't know. That's what I have to do sometimes. Not very much, honey.
Yeah. Thank you, baby.
Sometimes more than others, guys. Sometimes. So.
You know, I mean, one of the things that I quickly realized, I don't know that I learned a lot about this early on, but we're really different. We're really different. And she, her needs are not met the same way mine are. So, you know, at times I would look at her and go, she's just crazy. She's just crazy. I don't understand. I mean, that would take care of me. That would satisfy me. And I was trying to meet her needs through my lens, through my filter. And that didn't work that way. She's not like me. So I have to understand her need and meet her needs through her filter. So let's finish up today by giving you five practices of successful communication in marriage. And the first one's simply this: caring. Everybody say caring.
Caring.
Communication between a husband and wife, or between friends, or if you're dating. You know, by the way, how many of us can remember and realize when we were dating, we were so careful in what we said, so careful in the way we presented ourselves. And then if you're not careful, when you get married, all of a sudden you become lazy and you start using your words in a reckless way that's hurtful. So words are either one of two things, a bridge or a barrier. Yep. So they're either a bridge to your spouse's heart, your friend's heart, your parents' heart, or they're a barrier to their heart. And you need to think about what kind of words are you using. So, you know, when we care, it's demonstrated in some pretty practical ways. Body language, countenance, tone of voice. One of the things I've had to work on a lot and still have to work on is my tone of voice. I can have a tendency to be very urgent. My son calls me the impatient pastor. And, yeah. You know, I struggle with that. And because at times I'm driven by just impatient, wanting to get things done, being goal-oriented, this kind of thing, my words can come out very sharp because I'm just urgent. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean anything about it, but it's hurtful to my wife. I had to recognize that.
Yeah, and I had to honestly understand why he was doing what he was doing. And so that helps me in order to talk to him with honor. Honey, I know this is, you know, this is important to you, you know, that kind of thing. Instead of being offended at his tone. Sometimes we have to ask the Lord to help us look around that tone and not be easily offended at one another. So,
you know, I grew up in a home. My dad was a wonderful man, and he was a good man and a great provider. But I remember this picture many, many times, you know, in my home where my dad would come home after work, and he just wanted downtime. And he'd be hidden behind the newspaper. How many remember those days? It's not as common, I guess, today because newspapers aren't as common. Now we're hidden behind our phones or behind our iPads. But Dad would be behind that newspaper. And if you talk to him, you got an answer from behind the newspaper. You know, You know, and oftentimes my mom would go so far to try to prove her point. She'd, you know, she'd kind of set him up, you know, and then it would be revealing that he really wasn't listening. You know, he was reading the newspaper. You know what I'm talking about. If you're going to be caring and you're going to have goodwill, this is important, goodwill. You have to have goodwill with your spouse. If you don't, you need to pray that through and get that worked out. Because when you have goodwill, you'll be an active listener. Yeah. This is a term that's important for me. I have to, at times, I have to focus in. I have to set aside the distractions. I can easily get distracted. I don't think I have ADD, but maybe I have a touch of it. I'm thinking about things a lot, and I have to really zero in and listen to what my wife is saying so she doesn't have to repeat everything twice. And then, you know, just giving a kind and appropriate response, all those things show care.
Yeah. I think what I really appreciate too about you, hon, is like when he does come home from work, he needs a little bit downtime. And so he'll say to me, honey, I'm going to, you know, need a little downtime, but I'll be back, you know. And so he comes back and then he's engaged. And that's okay with me. As long as I know he's coming back, that I'm not alone, you know, that kind of thing. And that's, we communicate with each other. He understands I have that need and I understand that he has that need. So I'm not offended if he needs to take a break for a little bit when he gets home. So that's important that we understand that. Also, the next thing is, I love this, is the Bible teaches us how to talk to one another. So Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter his courts, his presence with praise. And I know that's talking about the Lord, but I really think that's talking about one another as well. That praise positions us, guys, relationally. Praise your spouse. Build them up. Encourage them. You know, are you trying to just get their ear? Or are you trying to get their heart? That's really important. Same with my son. Listen, ladies, you have sons, you speak to them with honor. You speak to them with respect. You don't put them down. They're little men. Same thing, guys, with little girls. You speak to them with care and sensitivity. You know, be careful of your tone. So the Lord wants us to enter in into, we need to focus on positive things. Focus on the positive. I think this is really interesting. So there's research that a conversation, listen, never rises above the tone of the first 3 minutes. If I would have known that, guys, oh my word, it would have saved us a lot of conversations. My kids know that's really code word for fight, right? So if you start a conversation in the first 3 minutes, it's going downhill, it's not going to get better. Just stop. Take responsibility. You know what? I need a couple of minutes. Go somewhere else. Do what you need to do. Come back. Say, I'm really sorry. Can we start over here? Get on the right foot. You know what? That whoever that is, your husband, your wife, your daughter, your son, you know, let's just be people of integrity and let's stop. Sometimes we're so prideful. We just got to make our point. Get the last word in there. Well, you can do that and you can just lose your spouse's heart because we've done it many times. We proved our point, but you know, you're lonely because guess what? Intimacy is gone. It's just gone. Nobody wants to be around you, but boy, you've won your point. I just kind of see smoke rising up around me. I'm like, oh boy, this is not helpful. So just remember, you need to make sure that how you begin something is really important. And if you don't begin right, just say you're sorry and try to begin again. It's really important.
I'm going to have the worship team come on up and the ministry team come up as I wrap up these last 3 points just quickly. Number 3 is truth. Yes. Truth. Honest communication has to be truthful, but it needs to be truth couched in love.
Yes.
The Bible makes that very clear that we're to speak the truth in love. So, you know, truth without mercy can be mean, but mercy without truth can be meaningless. So we need to be careful about that. Secondly, we need to have faith.
Yes.
That the words we speak are important, and that if we'll leave them into the hands of God, He will bring about the results that He desires. And then lastly, and I think this is so incredibly important, is surrender.
Yes.
You know, literally my mouth is surrendered to God. I mean, I happen to be in a position where my mouth is part of my calling. It's part of what I do. But if I don't surrender this to Him, that little tongue lying between my teeth can cause more problems, can be so destructive. It has to be surrendered on a daily basis. that it would bring forth fresh water. It would bring forth cleansing, healing words, not destruction, not hurt.
Yes.
So in communication, we've got to remember that our words have power.
Yes.
And be accountable for that. Surrender that to Jesus. Ask him to make our words the kind that will build up and bless and encourage others. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Stand with me, please, and let's pray together. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and be prayed for, and whatever your need might be, feel free to come and have someone pray with you this morning. Father, thank you for the power of words. Thank you, Lord, that just by changing our words, we can change our relationships. That literally our marriages are created by the words we speak. And when we become accountable for those words, when we surrender those words to you and begin to speak life-giving words, it literally can resurrect a relationship. It can change the culture and tone of our house. It can change everything. We can literally kill our relationship with words, and we can resurrect it with words. So God, help us to realize their power and to use them to build and bless. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. We're going to sing. You come.
This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. Thank you for letting us share this message with you. May God bless you in constant and powerful ways. If you would like a copy of today's podcast, please send us an email to nslk@nslk.org. God bless.